Well, good morning. Good morning, Fields Church. We are glad that everyone is here today in Charleston. We are so glad that you are there. We are, the Fields Church is one church, two different locations. We may not be in the same room today, but we are all studying God's Word together. We're on the same page. We're diving into the series called Arrows, and this is our second week in that series. So we are so glad that you're with us today. As I challenged everyone last week, I would make a special attempt to try to be at all of these because we want to make sure that these messages on family is a part of who we are and that we are really living towards the target. Before I get into today's teaching, though, let me just pause for a moment and let's look to next week. Did you guys know, hey guys, did you know next week is Mother's Day? That's right. At the Fields Church, we love holidays like that. We're going to be honoring not just moms, definitely moms, but all the ladies. You want to be here. We're going to have a great gift for all the ladies. And so make sure to be here. Now, ladies, plug your ears for a second. Okay, plug them. Guys, you have to bring your mom to church, bring grandma to church, and just be here. It's going to be a special Sunday for everyone to come and sit around mom or aunt or grandma or whoever it is. We want to honor all the ladies. So make sure to be here next week for Mother's Day. You'll see some stuff online. You can post that. You can share that. Let people know that they don't want to miss next week for Mother's Day at the Fields Church. So we'll see you guys next week. Let's get into the teaching today. And we are in this series called Arrows. And living towards the target is really about living towards the target God has for us for our families. That means families as in parenting, that's marriage, that's us being kids, siblings, under the same roof. That's even just doing relationships together. So I would be willing to say what we learned through the teaching, we can stretch into the workplace and the different relationships that we have. Listen, God gives us some specific instructions on how to interact with our families and with people. And so we're going to be looking at those. We're going to be looking at different stories across Scripture that we can see where God is pointing us in a direction that helps us be better at, you know, being in a family. However, we do have like what I call our base camp. We keep landing on a teaching, a passage that comes out of Psalms. It's actually Psalms 127, and Solomon wrote this, and we kind of keep coming back to this every week so you can understand why do we even call this Arrows. He says this, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. So God uses this imagery to say our kids are like arrows, and these arrows are in the warrior's hand. And he's giving us this imagery to say this is important. Almost warlike, like it's a battle, and we are going to make sure that we take care of our arrows. Our arrows have purpose. We as parents and grandparents and influencers of the next generation, we are like warriors, and we have this job in front of us, and these arrows are in our care, and when the quiver is full, it's such a blessing. So last week, we talked about aiming the arrows, aiming them to the target. We talked about bullseye parenting. This week, we're going to talk about how we need to let them go. We need to talk about the release of the arrows. Now, I got to be really honest. Like, I'm teaching this entire series on arrows. I'm not an archer. I've not been hunting with a bow and arrow. I've shot a bow and I've had some target practice and things like that, but I am not really skilled in archery, but I do know something about release. It has nothing to do with archery release, but just this concept of letting go and release. A few years ago, I was in Gulf Shores, Alabama with my family and my sister's family and my parents. And we went there and we had this vacation where we did this thing called the sky swing. And my dad and my nephew Jake and myself, we got hoisted up in this huge swing, like, you know, hundreds of feet up in the air. And then you get taken up there. And the next thing you know, that you're going to be swinging through the air like in Superman style. What I didn't know was the guy like getting us all harnessed in gives my 15-year-old nephew, Jake, the button to release us to go flying through the air. And we had no idea. So we're lifted way up to the top. And all of a sudden, we're just like dangling there. And Jake goes, "Hey, are you guys ready? Is this going to be fun?" And I'll be honest, I was scared and I could not believe my dad was with us, even though it was his idea. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm kind of ready." He goes, "Okay, well, let's go." And as soon as he said go, he hit that button and we were like going. And I'm screaming my head off. And I'm like, "How did you know?" And he's like, "I hit the button." We're like, "Ah!" And we're like, you know, anyway, he released us and I had no idea. But I can tell you what, the release is what it initiates the letting go. And in parenting, we have to understand the importance of the release, because God has equipped us, the warriors, to let go of the arrows. And these kids that we're raising, you see, Solomon says these kids, they're gifts from the Lord. Our kids are gifts. And when God gives us our kids, we need to treat our children, parents, grandparents, that we are stewards of the children in our families. We don't own them. God has given them to us to help raise them. We are stewards. But the whole idea of being a steward is equipping and empowering and preparing them for the release. We have to understand this. So the second teaching, today's teaching, is all about learning that arrows are meant to fly. Let me say it this way, actually, is the secret to successful parenting comes from letting go. Arrows are meant to fly. God has given us our kids and our grandkids and the next generation, but they are to fly. We're to release them. Now, like I said, I am no archer. I'm not a professional at this. However, I do know how to get on Wikipedia. And I do know how to read about archery. And I just want to share, it's pretty amazing, like this idea of releasing. There's something very skillful about this. In fact, let's just take a look at what WikiHow has to say. This is like, you know, if you don't know anything in the world, you just Google it and this stuff shows up. And so WikiHow says this: release the arrow by relaxing the fingers on your string hand. The goal is to get a clean release, meaning that the bow leaves your fingers with as little slowdown and interference as possible. The manner in which you release your fingers from the bowstring can impact the arrow's flight. Any unintended flinches or wobbles can knock it off course. So what they're saying is, depending how I release the string determines how straight the arrow goes and if I hit my target. The release is so important. And we need to understand that we don't want to release them where they're wobbling off course. The world is difficult enough. So families, listen, families, we need to talk about the release. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And God's got some great insight through Scripture on how you and I, we get to release. So number one is this. So we're going to take some notes. You can get out your guides on your phone and everything. Take notes today. You're going to want to know this. Number one is this: going is the goal. The goal is going. The goal is for them to go. The goal is the release. It's for them to go. As parents, we need to know that letting go and them going into their future is the goal. Releasing, not keeping. Let me say that again. It's releasing, not keeping. Proverbs says this, Solomon again writes this. He says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, we are to train up our children so they will go, and then he won't depart from it. But the reason that we're raising our kids is for the day that they go. We want them to go. We need them to go. Parenting is more of a propulsion system, not a prison system. It's not a prison system. It's a propulsion system. Think about parenting in the home, in the family, as mission control. Mission control, not thinking them. We want them to think it's mission control for them to be launched. Don't think of it as a prison to keep them confined. So let's think about mission control for a moment. I mean, I had the opportunity as a kid, we went to the Kennedy Space Center, and I just remember just seeing the magnitude of this place. It was massive, and the rockets and the space shuttle and these massive buildings, and you get to peek in and see all the computers and the planning and these people who are just brilliant, and they're doing there's so much planning and preparation and technology and study and research and everything to make sure whatever that they are launching from that launch pad gets to where it needs to go in orbit. And it's a lot of preparation, and it's a lot of work, and the mapping and the trajectories and the making sure everything gets into orbit properly. And then all of a sudden it's launch day, and it's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hold them back. No, it's not hold them back. It's 3, 2, 1, blast off, because that's the role. That's the purpose of mission control, is to get to the place where they blast off and they get into orbit. And if you've ever watched it live on TV, like on the news stations, then they go to the feed of everybody in that like mission control panel where there's all those computers. And there's this celebration. They're cheering. They're giving each other high fives because this rocket ship or this space station or whatever that they sent off into orbit got to where it needed to go. And they're celebrating because they put so much time and energy and education and planning and mapping and all the studies of trajectory, all of that. As soon as they launch that into orbit, there's this celebration that their job is done. They got it where they needed it to go. And parenting needs to be seen as mission control. It needs to be sending and launching and releasing, not hovering and controlling and protecting so much that we confine. We parent with the goal in mind that these guys, the goal is to go. They one day will go. And we need to understand that. And that's why Proverbs says, train up a child in the way that he will go, because then he won't depart from it. And so goal number one, we need to understand this, is the goal is to go. The second thing I want us to understand then is parent with the end in mind. Go back to mission control. They know where they're wanting this rocket or this space station to get into orbit. There's an end in mind. There's a trajectory. We want it to end up here. And so all of the planning and the preparation is that. It's the same thing with an arrow. I mean, if you're shooting an arrow, you have a target in mind. No one just goes, I'm just going to start shooting arrows. No, there's a target, and you're thinking about the trajectory. You're thinking about the wind. You're thinking about everything, and you pull back, and you have the target in mind, and you pull back, and you release with an end in mind, with a target in mind. The bullseye is in mind. And parenting is no different, that we're parenting with the end in mind, because we have to do the same type of mission control calculations, the mission control prepping and training, the mission control planning and the strategies. We want to know, how are we going to get our kids to, when we release them out of our home into their own or into college or into their next phase of life? Did we help them get to where they needed to be? When Samson was born, the story of Samson is found in Judges chapter 13. And Samson, if you know anything about Samson, he's the guy that his hair wasn't supposed to be cut, and he had this enormous strength, and he had the Nazirite vow, and God used him in a mighty way to take out the Philistines. But when Samson was born, his dad's name was Manoah, and his dad was talking to an angel and trying to figure out the purpose and the plan of this child who had this major destiny on his life. And in Judges chapter 13, 12, this is the conversation, this is the question dad asked about his son. He says this, "When your words come to true," the birth of this amazing son named Samson, "when your words come true, what will the boy's responsibilities and mission be?" He's asking, so when this boy is born, what's his mission? Because as a parent, I need to help him get there. And we need to be asking the exact same question. Have you ever asked God that question? What is my child's future, and what do I need to do to help him or her get there? What is the future of my grandchild, and how can I as a grandparent help that grandchild get there? As an aunt and an uncle, what's the future of my niece and nephew, and how can I help them get there? Because we want to parent and influence with the end in mind. I know, I realize there's just a few weeks of school left and summer vacations are coming up. If you guys are traveling this summer, if you're anything like me, like, I love the GPS and I love the map. I love Google Maps. I love satellite view. I love street view. I end up mapping where I'm going before I ever leave. I'm that kind of person that like watches like the satellite view. I can see the neighborhood that the hotel's in and wherever we're going to be going and staying. I'll even go to street view and I'm like, okay, we're driving in and we're going to park here. This is what the parking lot looks like. Because I like to know, I like to travel with the end in mind. I like to see it. And because of technology and satellite photography and all this stuff, you can actually do that now. You can go from bird's eye view to street view. And I like to travel with the end in mind. And I need to parent with the end in mind. When my three boys get to the age where they're ready to step out of the house, hopefully that's not when they're 29 or 30. Hopefully when they're out of high school and they go into college or whatever their next phase is, and they're ready to transition into their next season, I've helped them. Joy and I have trained and packed their bags for their journey because we have an end in mind. I want them to be godly men who love Jesus, who love their wives if they decide to get married, who love the local church, wherever, whatever town they live in. I want them to love God, love their family, and love the local church. And we want to pack their bags with those elements in that. I want them to love God's word. I want them to love worship. I want them to love to serve. And so the end in mind is they're going to grow up with those attributes and those values. And when they are 18, 19, 20 years old, it comes out. They've dedicated themselves to the Lord. Another prophet, his name was Samuel. So if we know what dad of Samson conversation was, let's look at the mother of Samuel. Samuel is a prophet in the Bible, and you can actually, he has a whole book named 1 Samuel. So in 1 Samuel, there's a story of Samuel being born. And Samuel's mom was Hannah, and Hannah wanted to have a son so bad. It was like begging to God for a son and said, "If you give me a son, I'm just going to dedicate my son. I want the entire life span of my son to serve you, God." And so we see this. This is the prayer that she had. "Oh, Lord of heavens, oh, Lord, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. And you, and he will be yours for his entire lifetime." Like, if you give me a son, I'm going to think of the end in mind. I'm going to give him back to you. And then he continues on a few verses later, like he's born. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. There's this dedication of the son saying, I'm going to live as a parent in a way that I've dedicated my son for the rest of his life with the end in mind. That's why we actually do family dedications here at the Fields Church. We'll be doing one in the fall, so let's get through summer. You'll see us promote and talk about that. But we want all of us to have the opportunity to dedicate ourselves as parents, dedicate our kids, our families, to say we want to parent with the end in mind, and we want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We want to dedicate our kids to the Lord, thinking the long term, their whole life belongs to the Lord. Not just when they're in preschool or when they're little babies. We don't want to just do a baby dedication. We want to do a lifelong child dedication. Their entire life is dedicated to the Lord. Why? Because we want to parent with the end in mind. And when you start preparing that way, you know, think about this. Like, when do you start preparing for your kid to get married? It shouldn't be like a couple months before the wedding. When do you prepare for your kids to graduate high school? Some of you guys are going to have high school kids graduating in the next couple weeks. Maybe even this last weekend, maybe just yesterday you had someone graduate from EIU. Like when do you start thinking about the graduation season? Hopefully it wasn't last week. It was hopefully years ago that when this transition happens and when this takes place, we've prepared for this graduation. We've prepared for our son or our daughter to be married. We've prepared for these things. And when we've prepared in this way, then we've spent the time trusting, like, what we've packed their bags is going to benefit them for that time. Now, what helps us as parents is to kind of realize, how much time do we have left with our kids? If I'm going to parent with the end in mind, what's between now and the end? So let's just define the end as maybe graduation, like 18 years old. Did you know if you have kids at the Fields Church, one of our resources through Orange, through our ministry, is you can have an app on your phone that will help you put resources and lead your kid closer to Jesus. And here's a cool part of this app is it'll actually help you have a bit of a countdown of how many weeks do you have left before they turn 18 and graduate out. In fact, why don't we watch this video? I want you to learn about an app that every single one of us in the room can download today to help us with our kids and grandkids. Watch this app.
From the day your child is born to the day they graduate, you have 936 weeks. 936 weeks of soccer practice and homework, and teaching them to use deodorant. 936 weeks to instill values, to build character, and to prepare them to face the world. You want to be a great parent, and we're here to help with each moment of parenting gold. Driving your fourth grader to practice. Saying goodbye to your 10th grader as he's walking out the door. Eating tacos in the kitchen with your 7th grader. Tucking your toddler in at night. These moments happen every week, and we want you to be aware of the time you have left, because when you are, you do more with the time you have now. We cue you with easy, just-in-time ideas of things to say, things to do, and things to think about to connect with the heart of your child. Our cues are grounded in God's big story, so your child can discover the power of faith in those everyday moments of life. Every cue fits the context of your child's developmental phase. We cue you when your high schooler won't leave their room, your middle schooler won't pick up their clothes, your 2-year-old won't stop talking. We help you understand these moments, and we help you connect. You only have 936 weeks. You can't afford to waste them. Parent Cue. It's what we do. Download it for free today.
Can you imagine? This is a screenshot of the app on a phone, and this isn't anyone from here, so we're not giving anyone's age or information, but if it was in my app, it would have said like Dakota Spencer, and we're in like the 100 weeks left. But a newborn's got like 960 weeks. And all of a sudden, as your kids start to get older and that number starts to go down, you're like, 140 weeks, 977 days. I've got 23,000 hours, this many minutes, this many seconds, because every second with our kid matters. The time matters. The days matter. The weeks matter. And to think that this particular person for Noah, 140 weeks left before they graduate, 140 Sundays, 140 weeks left in the home. Some of us in the room have 900. Some of us maybe clicked off number one yesterday when they graduated Eastern. Maybe there's 2 weeks left before your high school graduation. Think about that. Can you imagine that when we begin to count our weeks with our kids, we're going to make a bigger difference in our kids' lives and our grandkids' lives? Why? Because time matters with them. And when you're parenting with the end in mind, now you actually have an end defined. Wow, I got a lot to put into my kid in the next 140 weeks. And you can be strategic about that. Can I just pause and just give a huge shout out to our orange team, our next gen team, anyone you see wearing the orange t-shirts? I want to tell you, they are investing in our kiddos here so they can help you invest in your kids at home. That together, what you say at home and what they say here, these two influences, when you combine them, they have a greater influence because what they're hearing at home and what they're hearing at church, and if we reinforce one another, we can help raise a great generation of kids and teenagers to love Jesus. Our teams that are in the next gen area, man, they are awesome. They deserve huge high fives when you're picking up your kids today because they are helping you parent with the end in mind. The third thing I'd want us to think about with these arrows is the releasing. The release is this, is when the kids go, the marriage should grow. Okay, let's talk about this. The kids are supposed to leave, right? So let me say it this way, is the kids are supposed to leave and the marriage is supposed to stay. The marriage, our marriage needs to still be intact and even grow and get healthy when it's time for the kids to be released. Jesus talks about this cycle of family. I want us to see it. It's important for us to understand. This is the words of Jesus in the book of Mark. He says, God made them male and female. He's talking about the parents, talking about family. He made them male and female from the beginning of creation. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother. He leaves their parents and is joined with his wife. And the two are united into one. And since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. This is the cycle. Two individuals become one. Okay? And then the one family unit, the marriage, has kids sometimes. And then they raise these kids, and the kids then leave to go get married, and then they get married. And when the kids leave the nest, the one needs to continue to be the one and not slowly split apart. And the problem is this. The problem is a lot of times when kids leave the nest and they are released, husbands and wives look at each other and like, who are you? Like, we've been so focused on our kids that we don't know each other. But in fact, like, kids, let's take a look at this. Kids being released out of the nest should not hurt a marriage, but it should actually heat up a marriage. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. The nest is empty, baby. The nest can get a little hotter because the kids are gone. Okay, I want to go into detail on that. But the problem is we become so child-focused in our parenting, in our family. Child-centered parenting is very dangerous. In fact, could I even go so far to say it is wrong? I might even offend some people today hearing this, but I want you to know we as parents, it shouldn't be child-centered. Number one, it needs to be Jesus-centered. Mom and dad, husband, wife, adults in the room, it needs to be number one Jesus-centered. Then after that, the next focus is spouse focus. to make sure that the marriage is strong. Then our children come after that. And I know you're saying, oh gosh, raising kids takes up so much time and so it's hard. How do you focus on your marriage when you're trying to chase all these kids around? But I'm going to tell you this, like, we've got to figure this out. Because listen, the greatest gift you can give your children is a great marriage. And if you work on your marriage, it is a beautiful gift to your children. And so you have to work on the marriage while you're raising kids. Not just after, and not just pre-kids, but while you're raising kids. Let me just take a moment, and let me speak into the lives of our empty nesters or our almost empty nesters. We don't hit on this a lot in church. We don't talk about this a lot. We need to talk about this. There are issues in families across the United States when the kids leave the nest and then the marriages can struggle. I want to give you some tips. I want to give you some tips for those who are in this season of being an empty nester or almost an empty nester. In fact, I'm going to give you like 10 different dates or things that you can intentionally focus on. You definitely want to take notes on this, okay? Number one, we'll go through it very quick, is celebrate the empty nest. Like literally, like once the empty nest happens, instead of mourning it, you celebrate it. What's that look like? You actually could go on a date and make it a little bit of a tribute and a little bit of a celebration that this marks a new chapter in our life. And celebrate that new chapter. Don't mourn it. Too many people mourn that chapter and you get off to the wrong foot. Celebrate that chapter because it's a part of the cycle of life that God has given us. Celebrate that. It's a part of who God has for us, is who God is in the design of life. So celebrate the emptiness. Number two is become a couple again. Like, I know that you're running ragged through the teenage years and the college and all that. Like, begin to date again. Begin to be a couple. Begin to have those conversations. Begin to redate the way you did before kids. Like, become a couple again. The third thing you can do is rediscover your love languages. If you've never heard this, like, Google love languages, and you're going to find out if between you and your spouse, if it's something that's nice, that's something that's said, or it's a gift of time, or it's a gift of something, it's an actual gift, a tangible gift, or if it's the gift of touch. And everyone has different love languages. I really encourage you guys, if you're married, to just Google love languages and figure that out. And there's even little tests and quizzes online that you can see. I want you to do another one, is number four, would be clear the air. So you've had years of kids and busyness and schedules and taking kids to practices and plays and dances and all this stuff. And there's probably been some built up animosity in the marriage. This bugs me, this bugs me, this bugs me, this bugs me. I didn't like it when you've always done this. Like, now that you've entered the season of empty nester, it's time to clear the air. Like, maybe it's a conversation over dinner to go, hey, can we start over? And this has always bugged me. And can we work on this? Because you have a lot of life left. And so let's clear the air and get rid of the little elephant in the room. And let's deal with that. The next thing, number five, would be revisit the roles. See, everything changes when the kids leave. I always took the trash out. I always mowed. I did the grocery shopping. I did this. I did this. I did this. Guess what? Fresh slate. What a great time to sit down together and go, hey, how can we do this new life together, this whole new chapter? Can we revisit some of the roles around the house and stuff? So that's another thing you can do. Number six would be this, is turn up the heat. That's right. I always talked about that, but I like talking about that. It's a good subject to talk about. Turn up the heat in the nest. The kids are gone. You know, hey, it's, you know, all right. You know what I'm talking about. But what? Do not neglect this part of being married just because kids are gone. This is important all the way through life. I'm getting a little red up here. You're getting a little red up there. Junior hires in the room are giggling. You know, we'll stop. Okay. We'll keep going. So, number seven is develop an extended family strategy. What's that mean? well, now you're going to have kids, and their kids get married, and they've got kids, and you've got the family tree expands. It's good for you guys to be strategic. How do we do holidays? How often do we see our kids? How often do we visit the kids? How often do we invite the kids over? Just be strategic. Be on the same page. Have a plan on how we handle the extended family in our lives. Next thing we can do is number 8 is this: grow spiritually together. This is a great season to start to do devotions together. Read your Bible, talk about it, go to a group together. Like maybe you've been so busy with kids, now you can actually be part of a group. We have summer groups coming up. Join a group together. Do things together spiritually. Serve together. It's great. Next thing, number 9 would be this: is attack the bucket list. I want to tell you what, we don't know our days. We don't know how many days we've got left on this planet. And if you have some desires, and you've got desires but don't know how many days you've got, attack that bucket list. You're in the empty nest season. Go do some things you've always dreamed of doing. You know, attack the bucket list. Find a plan. Figure out a way to do some of these things that you always said, well, when I get older or we have time, we want to do this, this, and this. Time to go do some of those things. And then the last one is this, is find the fun. Like I want this to be the greatest season of your life, that empty nest season. It's enjoy life, have fun, have friends, find things to do, create new hobbies, whatever it takes. This doesn't have to be expensive. Just have fun, okay? It's really, really important. If we were to review just today, just listen, we gotta let the goal is to let it go, let the kids go. Okay, that's the whole idea, is the release. So we have to plan on the release to take place. The second thing is the trajectory of the release. We want a parent with the end in mind. Where are we leading them and preparing them to get to? And then the last thing I want us to know is when the kids go, our marriage should still grow. We want to be healthy in our marriages, even though our kids are growing up and maybe moving out of the house. It's really important. I'm going to go back to Psalm 127. When Solomon wrote this about the arrows and about we as families, the very first line of this psalm is this. He says, unless the Lord builds a house, the family, the work of the builders is wasted. If the Lord is not the center of everything we're doing through our families, in our families, and in ourselves, then it's just a waste of time. So can I just say, as we close today, are you allowing Jesus to be the center of your life? Because if you've not invited Jesus into your life, this whole parenting and trying to help our kids ends up being a bit of a waste of time, because we ourselves are not building our lives on God. So we're going to pray today. And again, why don't you close your eyes and think again, ask yourself, am I hitting the target of Jesus being the center of my life? Am I hitting the target? Am I hitting the target? Or am I off target? Because I want you to be centered on Jesus. Let's pray.